Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied to each of you in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to be here with you this morning to share in God's Word. For those of you who may not be familiar with me, my name is Travell, and I am a member here at Redeemer. And on occasion, I have the privilege of serving you with the Word, which is my task this morning. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. We're getting in Exodus 33 this morning. We as a church are walking through a summer series on prayer. And what we've been doing is just looking at the different kinds of prayer. And so this morning we're going to take a look at intercession. And we're going to use this text as our platform to look through that. Just as a reminder, Pastor Joe has given us a working definition for prayer that we're using, and we're going to kind of use that to shape our time together this morning as well. So this is the definition that we're using to think around prayer. Prayer is appearing before God by faith, relying on the mercy of Christ to praise him and worship and to plead with him for grace. Prayer is appearing before God by faith, relying on the mercy of Christ to praise him and worship and to plead with him for grace. And so what we'll do this morning is that we're going to look at this sermon kind of in two parts. We'll first look at the example that Moses gives us about intercession, and then we'll talk specifically about what intercession is. Allow me to breathe a word of prayer for our time together. We'll read the text and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Father, we are very grateful for the opportunity to come together as a body of believers to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that we're not alone, for you said, "Lo, I'm with you always." And we thank you that we're not alone. And so now we know because you are with us, we are beneficiaries of your grace and your mercy. And so now as we look to hear the word of God, we pray that you would give us attentive hearts and minds and listening ears, that we would receive the word with gladness, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your words, deceiving ourselves, but that we would be effectual doers of your word. And Father, as always, it is our prayer that you, by the Spirit of God, would use the word of God to reveal unto us the Son of God. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 33, we're going to look beginning at verse 12. We'll read from there down through the end of the chapter, verse 23. Here's the word of the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I find favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to them, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not that you're going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I will know you by name." And Moses says, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim before me my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where I shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft on the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until you pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my backside, and but my face you will not be seen." This is the word of the Lord. A mother once came to Napoleon Bonaparte pleading for her son's life. This young man had committed a grievous offense and he was sentenced to death. And Napoleon said, "Madam, your son doesn't deserve mercy. And she replied, "Sir, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. I'm not asking for justice. I'm pleading for mercy." And Napoleon paused, and he pardoned her son. That's intercession. Standing between judgment and mercy, pleading for the one who cannot plead for himself. That's what we find here in the text in Exodus 33. Israel has sinned. While Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law, the people were at the foot of the mountain making a golden calf. They worshiped the work of their hands, and God's righteous anger burned hot against them. And he threatened to wipe them out and start all over with Moses, but Moses prayed. He stood in the gap between a holy God and a sinful people, and he pleaded for mercy. And this is the work of intercession, pleading with God on behalf of others, standing where judgment meets mercy, asking for what we could never deserve. And so this morning, as we look at this text, I have a sermon summary, and I apologize for the length. I tried to do my best to shorten it up, but this is how we'll look at the text. It'll be the overarching main point of the sermon as we take a look at this text this morning, and it's this. Intercessory prayer is knowing God personally, seeking his presence passionately, pleading his promises boldly, longing for his glory, for the good of others, and for the honor of his name. Whew, I know. All right. Intercessory prayer is knowing God personally, seeking his presence passionately, pleading his promises boldly, longing for his glory, for the good of others, and the honor of his name. That will be the overarching main idea that we'll take a look at this text. And so as we look at Exodus 33 this morning, it picks up here right after the golden calf incident. And God said at the very beginning, if you look at the beginning of chapter 33, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land which I will swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your offspring, I will give it. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and Hivites and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." And so this was the result. This is what God had demanded of the people, that they serve no other God but him. But they built a golden calf, worshiping idols. And God said, "I'm going to stand by my promise and give you the promised land, but I won't go with you." And for Moses, this was unthinkable. He would have rather stayed in the wilderness with God than into the promised land without him. And so Moses prayed. And so we're going to draw from the text a few points from what we see in the text. Number one, what we see about intercession is this. Intercessory prayer pleads based on relationship. We see that in verses 12 and 13. Intercessory prayer pleads on the basis of relationship. Moses, in verses 12 and 13, begins reminding God of his own words. He said, "You've said." That's not arrogance, that's holy confidence. Prayer takes God at his word. God said, "I know you by name." And that is intimacy, that is covenant, that is relationship. And so before Moses could stand before God for Israel, on behalf of Israel, he must stand before God for himself. He longs to know God more deeply. He says, "Show me your ways that I may know you." And so what we see from the text is that you cannot lead where you have not gone. You cannot plead for others if you do not know the one in whom you're pleading. When I go to a bank and I ask for my money to be withdrawn, the teller can go and withdraw the funds from my account because I have already an established relationship with the bank. And in the same way, intercessors must have a living relationship with God before they can effectively plead for others. So intercession pleads on the basis of relationship. Number two, secondly, we see out of this text that intercessory prayer seeks God's presence above all else. Seeks God's presence above all else. We see that in verses 14 through 16. God answers Moses' prayer with the promise of his presence. But Moses presses further. Look at verse 14. And he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? I and your people, is it not that you're going with us? So that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth." Moses presses God even further. Moses doesn't just want blessings. He wants the blesser. He doesn't want victory without the victor. He doesn't want the land without the Lord. He knows that the only thing that makes God's people distinct is the presence of God. And so when we are going to God on behalf of others, that should be our strongest desire. That not necessarily that their circumstances change, but that we encounter the living God. That's really what it's all about. We need the presence of God. What if I get everything in the world and I don't have the Lord? What does it profit a man to gain the world and to lose his own soul? But with the Lord, if I have everything, if I lose everything with God, I really didn't lose anything because I still have everything with the Lord. That's what we need, a strong desire for the presence of God. So when we go to God on behalf of others, we do it asking for God's presence to be with them, that they would encounter the Lord. When a child is lost in a crowd, he's not concerned necessarily anymore about toys or treats. What he really wants is just his father's hand. And that's what we do. We are seeking what matters the most, and that is God being with us. Nothing else matters if God is not with us. Number three, what we see in the text is intercessory prayer clings to God's promises. Intercessory prayer clings to God's promises. Moses builds his appeal on what God has already said. Look at verse 17. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'The very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.'" Intercessory prayer, prayer that prevails, is prayer that clings to the promises of God. And we don't twist the arm of God, we just hold him to his word. So when I go to God and I'm seeking the presence of God on behalf of others, I just remind the Lord that you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said that you'll be with us at all times. You said that we don't have to fear because you are with us. When we go to the Lord and we are looking for strength and we are weak and we need help, we just remind the Lord, you said your grace is sufficient and that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We just remind the Lord that you said that you would be our strength and our shield. You said that if I wait on you, you will renew our strength and we'll mount up on wings as eagles. That's what you said. When I'm feeling the weight of my sin and I'm crushed and the devil is bringing condemnation in my life, I just go to the Lord and remind him, you said that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You said, as far as the east is from the west, is as far as you remove your iniquities from me. You said that you will forgive my transgressions and you will remember my sins no more. That's what you said. When I'm lost and I need direction and I need wisdom, I just go to the Lord and I remind him, you said that you will instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. You said that if anyone lacks wisdom, I can go to you and you will give me wisdom. You said, if I trust in you and lean not to my own understanding, that you will make my path straight. That's what you said. When I need peace and I need comfort, I just go to the Lord and I remind him. You said, you keep me in perfect peace if I kept my mind stayed on you. You said that if I cast all of my anxieties on you, you care for me. You said that I don't have to be anxious and you would give me the peace of God, and that peace will guard my heart and my mind. That's what you said. And I remind God of that, not again to twist his arm, but I remind him because God is a promise-keeping God. He does not fail, and he surely will do it. And that's, right, if you're a parent, you know that instinctively in children. You tell them something you may have forgot, but then they go, but Daddy, you promised. That's how faith works. Our faith is built up by reminding God, that's what you said, and I believe it. And if you said it, I trust you enough to believe it. That's what you said. Intercessory prayer clings to the promises of God. Number four, what we see out of this text. Intercessory prayer longs for the glory of God. Intercessory prayer will long for the glory of God. We see this in verses 18 through 23. Moses said, please show me your glory. He said, I will make my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to you, and I will be gracious. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where I will stand on a rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft on the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I've passed by, and then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my backside, but my face shall not be seen. Moses' greatest desire was not for Israel's safety. His desire was for God's glory to be revealed in them. That's the ultimate goal. And the thing is that when we get to a place in our prayers for others, that's what we want. We pray that God's glory would be revealed. There's a scripture that gets misused pretty often in Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of times that is taken out of context and say, well, if I just love the Lord and I obey him, he'll give me any and everything I want. Well, no. What he's doing, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will then draw you closer to him and he will align your will with his will. So then the desires of your heart becomes the desires of God. Becomes the will of God, and then he will give you all the desires of your heart because it is perfectly in line with the will of God. And that is a heart reality to pray when we're coming to God on behalf of others, asking for certain things, knowing that ultimately we may not get it the way that we want it, but your glory is what we really want. That's the greatest thing that we can have. Lord, show us your glory. We want to do this for the honor of your name. We see this perfectly in Jesus. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, already suffering for the sins of the people. And he's praying to his Father. And in his flesh, he says, Lord, is there another way? Please let this cup pass from me. But he gets to a place where he says, not my will, thy will be done. And that should be our prayer for the glory of God to be revealed, not in my way, in your way, not my will be done. So what we see out of this text, Moses gives us a great example that intercessory prayer is rooted in relationship. We have to know the Lord. It's consumed with his presence. It's valuing him above all else. It's anchored in his promises. That's what we pray, what the Lord has already said, and is driven by his glory, which is seeking the honor above all else. That's what we see in the text. And so Moses is a great example for us. And so now what we want to do is we just want to look at what intercessory prayer is, and we'll draw five things out from what intercessory prayer is as we shift here. So we see a wonderful example of how to intercede on behalf of others. Now let's talk about what intercessory prayer is. Number one, first and foremost, what you need to know about intercessory prayer is standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. It's a wonderful text that I don't have time to go through all of it. I'm going to read one verse, but I encourage you to go home and read it because it was really convicting to me this week as we were studying Ezekiel 22. Go home and study that, read that. Ezekiel 22, I'm just going to read verse 30. Verse 30, hear the word of the Lord. It says, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Such a convicting verse. The whole passage, as he builds up the context, and you go home and read it, but the Lord was looking for someone to stand in the breach, and as he was looking, he found none. Intercessory prayer is standing between a holy God and a needy people pleading for his mercy. And when it comes to intercessory prayer, there's a tension here that we have to keep in mind, that we have to wrestle with. One is, God is sovereign. He's absolutely and totally in control over all of the affairs of heaven and earth. God is sovereign, but we also have a real responsibility. God is sovereign. He is the one that declares the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, verse 10. He is the one that works all things according to the counsel of his own will, Ephesians 1, 11. He does not need us to accomplish his purposes, yet he chooses to work through our prayers for his people. And so with that, although God is sovereign, he's totally in control, does not need us, he chooses to use us. And so we have a real responsibility to pray. The Bible commands us to pray. The Bible commands us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, to pray for all people. The Bible commands us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, that we need to bear one another's burdens. We see it in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, that God is seeking for someone to stand in the breach on behalf of others. But the good news is that in James chapter 5, verse 16, he promises that the prayer of the righteous person has great power and it's working. So God's prayer is God ordained. He ordains the means which he will accomplish his will. Not only does God ordain the end, which what will happen, but he also ordains the means by which how it will happen. And it happens through prayer. Intercession is participation. It's not persuasion. We are not convincing God to care. We are aligning ourselves with the will of God, and we are becoming instruments of his mercy. Our prayers matter. Our prayers matter eternally. In a real sense, God has chosen to move in response to the prayers of his people. We see that clearly demonstrated before us in the text in Exodus 33. What does this mean for us? What this means is that when we pray with boldness because we know God is sovereign and he's able. We pray with urgency because God uses our prayers to bring about his purposes. And we pray with trust, knowing that his will is perfect. And even when the answer differs from our desires, his will is still perfect. So number one, we see intercessory prayer is standing in the gap. So who are you standing in the gap for? Standing in the gap for family, for the church, for your city, for the nation, for the world. We need to stand in the gap because God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. Number one, intercessory prayer is standing in the gap. Number two, intercessory prayer is grounded in God's mercy. Intercessory prayer is grounded in God's mercy. We do not come on our own merit. We come through Christ, who is our perfect intercessor. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible says, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Our prayers have power because Jesus is praying for us. We have power because of our prayers, because of our perfect Christ. And if you like me, sometimes when it comes to praying for others, you don't always feel qualified. How can I pray for others when I don't feel like I've got everything together myself? How can I pray for others when I got my own sin and junk to still get right with God? So if you're someone who feels that way, if someone were to come to me and they would say that they feel unqualified or that they're too broken to intercede for others, I would point them to Jesus. I would point them to Jesus, who is interceding for us. He is at the right hand of the Father. Right now, seated at the right hand of the Father and perfect eternal intercession. Hear me. You are loved. You are forgiven. If you are in Christ and you are known, you're not dirty anymore. You are clean. And now, with these clean hands, hands that are clean, not because you earned it, but that were gifted to you, with these same clean hands, you are now more than welcome to enter into the throne, to enter into the throne of grace for help in the time of need. And while you're there, add someone to the request. So I would say that if you feel unqualified to intercede on the behalf of others, I would tell you that is a lie from the devil. You are qualified to pray. As long as Jesus has the final say so, you are qualified. When Jesus himself has brought you with his blood, he has cleansed your conscience, he has given you eternal life, you are qualified as long as Jesus has the final say so. And so, intercessory prayer is grounded in God's mercy. Number three, intercessory prayer is fueled by love for others. It's fueled by love for others. Moses, we see, he prayed for the rebellious people because of his love for them. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul prays for churches often, even though they doubted him. So true intercession pleads for people who do not deserve it, because that's exactly what Christ does for us. In the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us to be imitators of God, to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. He says, imitate God, walk in love, Christ who gave himself up for us. And intercessory prayer is a function of that. It's giving up of myself. It's giving up of my time. It's giving of my attention, because you have to be curious at least to know what to intercede around. Right? How are you? Do you have any needs? What can I bring to the Lord for you? Intercessory prayer is an element of compassion and mercy, and also dependence, because we are often in conversations where people are downloading things on us, and if you are like me, my knee-jerk reaction is, okay, well, here's a scriptural text, there you go, that'll help you on your way, and that's good, but that can only go so far. So we should become more prayerful for people in light of our own limitations to serve them. We don't have everything that they need, but God does. So because of love, I'm now obligated to give you to God to make sure you're okay, because I don't have all that you need, but the Lord has everything you need. So I give you to him. Number four, intercessory prayer seeks God's glory, not our agenda.
Intercessory prayer
seeks God's glory, not our agenda. We are not trying to get God on our side. We are pleading for his will to be done, for his glory to be revealed, and for his presence to be known among us. So when we plead for the glory of God and not our own agenda, even praying for others, sometimes we can do that selfishly, right? Your relationship with people, spouses, children, sometimes I'm going to pray for you because I need you to behave in a way that benefits me. But no, we don't pray for our agenda. We pray ultimately for God's glory to be revealed, his presence to be made known for them. That is intercessory prayer. Number five, lastly, intercessory prayer requires persistence. Intercessory prayer requires persistence. Moses prayed repeatedly. Abraham pleaded over and over and over for Sodom. We have a wonderful picture in Luke 18 of Jesus telling a parable about a persistent widow who kept coming over and over and over until the judge responded. Intercessors keep knocking on heaven's door until they get an answer. You keep coming. And as you do this, it builds up your faith. Because you have to rely and build up your patience as you wait on the Lord. But he makes a promise to us that if we wait on him, he will renew our strength. Keep going. Keep asking. If you didn't get an answer, pray again. I grew up in a church where saints made up a lot of songs. And so this is one that they made up, but it's a pretty decent one from what I remember. It says, saints, don't start praying, for the Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear you cry. For the Lord has promised and his word is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Keep praying. Go to God. He will answer you. Be persistent in your prayers for others. And so Moses stood in the gap. He pleaded for God's mercy. He sought his presence. He clung to his promises and he longed for his glory. And we have a greater intercessor, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to him through God, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. So will you join him? Will you stand in the gap? You stand in the gap for your family and for your friends, for your church, for your city, for the nations. There are still unreached people group who have not yet heard of the mercy of Christ. Stand in the gap. God is looking for us to partner with him in his sovereignty to do accomplish his means in the earth. And there's a text in Genesis chapter 19 as I close. That tells me I'm convinced that intercessory prayer works because of this text. It's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're getting destructed. Abraham is praying over and over and over again. So he's praying for his nephew Lot to come. And Lot is rescued. And the Bible says that the Lord remembered Lot because of Abraham's prayer. That's why I'm convinced that interceding really works. The Lord remembered Lot because of Abraham's prayer. It wasn't because of the righteousness of Lot. He remembered Lot because of Abraham's prayer. That's what intercession is. God will remember your prayers. Keep praying. Keep going to God. He'll answer you. Intercessory prayer is knowing God personally, seeking his presence passionately, pleading his mercies boldly, longing for his glory, for the good of others and the honor of his name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are God who hears and answers prayer. We thank you for the privilege of standing in the gap, coming boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. our great high priest who intercedes for us. And so, Lord, give us the heart of Moses. Help us to know you more dearly and to seek your presence above all else and to cling to your promises and to see your glory. Teach us to pray for others, to pray for our families, our friends, our church, those who don't know you. Help us toward that end in Jesus' name. Amen.